We come now with our second lesson on silence in heaven. Our scripture passage is from Revelation chapter 8 and verse number 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. The sixth seal takes place in Revelation 6, 12 through 17. And it ends with saying, the great day of the wrath of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So the last part of the sixth seal is given to you and introducing to you the seventh seal, which is going to be the judgment of Almighty God. Well, religion has taught us to put that down at the end of the age. But according to John chapter 12, verses 30 through 32, that I have read you on numerous occasions, Jesus said, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now is the judgment of the world. This spake he concerning what death he should die. So Jesus says the judgment of God took place at Calvary. That's when the actual judgment of God fell upon mankind, because he said, this is the way that man is supposed to be, and presented to us the perfect man, the Lord Jesus. And he said, everybody that doesn't measure up to this, the judgment of God is going to fall upon him. How do you measure up to that perfection? Believe on him, and thou shalt be saved. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So we see that the sixth seal in chapter 6, verses 12 through 17, ends with the wrath of God being manifest and introduced to us. Then chapter 7 is an intermission. And he says, hurt not the earth at all until we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Chapter 7 and verse 3. That's what's going on. It is the sealing of God's people in redemptive grace. So there's silence in heaven, intermission in chapter 7, but an end of intercession in chapter 8 and verse 1 until the redemption and the sacrifice has been accepted. So God says, let there be silence in heaven. There's no intercession, not from the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 26, and not from the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. There is going to have to be a fulfillment of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ before God begins to allow the rest of this thing to take place. So the first thing that we see in chapter 8 is the seven trumpets. The seventh seal brings in the seven trumpets. And the seventh trumpet brings in the seven vials. That's the way that it goes. And we see, dear soul, that the work of God is seen as an angel, a messenger, speaking of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ and the intercessory work of Jesus Christ. This is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that has been accepted on our behalf. And he says, he took in the verse number 4 of Revelation 8, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints. And by the way, in verse 3 it says all saints. All the prayer of past, present, and future is going to be mediated by this angel, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth. And then here comes the gospel. Voices, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. The shaking of Hebrews chapter 12. That God's going to shake everything that can be shaken, so that which cannot be shaken, that is on the foundation of Jesus Christ, cannot be shaken. That's the way that it is. And we said, well, what has Jesus Christ to do with fire? Everything. Luke 12:49. The words of Jesus Christ. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? I've already started sending fire on the earth. So we see that this fiery judgment of God came, and Jesus Christ identifies with it. Now, let's go to Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. The book of Malachi, chapter 3. Book of Malachi, chapter 3. Verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, talking about John the Baptist. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. He said, the temple is my body, John 2:20. He shall suddenly come. Then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. When Jesus was born, he shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Malachi 3:2. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. We would call a fuller somebody who washes clothes. He is going to be like a refiner's fire. And we read you 1 Corinthians 3:13. This fire is going to try every man's work of what sort it is, gold, silver, precious stone, hay, wood, and stubble. So the fire is going to fall upon all religious works, on all works of all kinds, and make sure you understand and see that none of it shall abide except that which shall abide the fiery judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Malachi 3:3. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, 1 Corinthians 3:13, every man's work, gold, silver, and precious stone. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Dear soul, everything we do passes through the fiery judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as it comes to God, it offers a sacrifice in righteousness. Everything that the Hebrew children brought back in from the wars that they got from the heathen tribes, it had to pass through the fire or it could not go into the temple. They had to destroy the horses. They couldn't pass through the fire. Everything that they brought in had to go through the fire. It had to be sanctified. God wouldn't have it if it came straight from heathendom. God won't have it if it comes from mine and your flesh. It has to come through the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fourth man in the fire is like the Son of God and purifying us and setting us free from everything that that binds us. Now, let's get on closer to home. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. We're talking about the angel scattering fire in the earth as he takes it from the altar and seeing it as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 3. Jesus says, John says, John the Baptist says to the Pharisee in John, in Matthew 3 and verse number 9, think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. And I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now also the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. The next three verses, every verse is going to end with the word fire. Matthew 3:10, fire. Matthew 3:11, and I indeed baptize you with water and unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not able to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Verse 12, whose fan is in his hand. They used to toss the wheat up and somebody would be blowing with a fan and it'd blow the chaff away and the wheat would fall back down. That's how they separated. He has his fan in his hand and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So fire in Malachi chapter 3, fire in Matthew chapter 3, and Jesus saying that in Luke chapter 12 and verse number 49, I'll get it right in a minute. Luke chapter 12 and verse 49, I am come to send fire on the earth. These things help you understand what's going on in Revelation chapter 8. Silence in heaven, waiting till the sacrifice has been accepted and been completed. And then intercession can start back again and judgment of God can start back again. So, dear soul, we see that this is that which we saw also in Psalm 141 and verse 2. Let my prayer be set forth as unto thee. I'll get it right in a minute. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. So the incense that we're talking about in Revelation 8 is not strange to us. And we don't have to have a literal priest at a fiery altar that casts perfume and such on it. That's not, those things are those things that are physical that bespeak of the spiritual things. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20, that the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his power and Godhood. So these things are being brought over for us to understand and see just what is going on in this glorious book of the Revelation. And it's written not to keep you out, but it is written to bring you in because you are a Christian. You know the Bible. You've been studying all these other 65 books. And the Holy Spirit is yours, the same Holy Spirit that wrote it. He didn't write it in code so that it could not be understood. He wrote it in the revelation of God as he's always done in the Scriptures. And we can compare these Scriptures with other Scriptures and it'll open up unto us. And we can see these things that belong unto Almighty God. So let's go to Luke chapter 24. The book of Luke, chapter 24, beginning with verse number 44. I want you to see three words. Luke 24:44. And he said unto them, the men in the upper room, the people in the upper room, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Well, we're waiting on certain things to be fulfilled, and they got to get that red heifer, you know, send them out to the wilderness. We got to have the timbers brought in till we build the temple at Jerusalem. Jesus said all things were fulfilled already. He said that to John the Baptist. It behooveth us to fulfill all righteousness. And he said in John 19:30, it is finished. It is done. So he says, these things, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Dear soul, you're never going to understand the Scriptures by studying Dr. Bottlestopper's commentary. You're going to understand the Scriptures by having the Holy Spirit reveal Christ to you on every page. That's what you're supposed to be coming to, a revelation of Jesus Christ. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. They're one of the two witnesses. The church is one and the Holy Spirit is the other one. Acts 5:32. Verse 49, this is the verse I want to get to. Luke 24:49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. And here's the three words, but tarry ye. Silence in heaven. Nothing going on. The greatest preachers, the greatest gospel preachers that ever attended the earth at any one time are among them in that upper room waiting. They can't talk. They can't preach. They can't testify. They can't witness. Why? But tarry ye, but silence in heaven. Wait until the work of the Lamb of God is accepted and received, and God sends the power of the Holy Spirit, the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, on Pentecost, and now you can preach all you want to. Go into gospel, go into all the world, preach the gospel to everybody. Why? Because now all authority is given me in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28:18. They don't quote Matthew 28:18. It doesn't suit their program. They want you to come over there on Thursday night and go out on weekly visitation. And so they use Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye. That's all they want to say. But wait a minute. Back up. Rewind this thing. Go back to verse 18. Why do we go ye? Because all authority is given me in heaven and in earth. You're to go under His authority for His glory and not for your church's enrollment. Somebody say amen. Listen. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. What is the promise of my Father? The Holy Ghost. Don't go till you get the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not going to come until the sacrifice has been completed and received and accepted by God on your behalf. Jesus was on the earth 40 days before He was ascended up to heaven. And then it was some other 40, 50 days before Pentecost came and the Holy Ghost was sent. Don't go until you receive the Holy Ghost. There's silence in heaven. What's going on? Well, it doesn't look like anything, but it is something. They that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be complete and entire, lacking nothing. Waiting on the Lord is not doing nothing. It is being obedient and abiding until God sends you forth under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's not a bad thing. It's not a waste of time to wait upon the Lord. That's how you renew your strength. But tarry ye. There's silence in heaven. What's going on? Well, nothing. Yes, it is. We're between the sixth and the seventh trumpet. The judgment of God is fixing to fall because the wrath of God is going to come. That sixth trumpet ended up with the words, "For the great day of His wrath has come." What is the great day of His wrath? The work of the Lord Jesus Christ upon Calvary. How do you know that? I've told you 11 times. John chapter 12, verses 31 through 33. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. This spoke he concerning what death he should die. That's when the day of the wrath has come, is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. Everything depends upon Calvary. We make, and I say we, I'm talking about we in organized religion, make all too little, or if nothing at all, of Calvary. That's everything. There is where the judgment of the world took place. There's where the prince of this world was cast out. There's where God began to draw all men unto Him. This spoke He concerning what death he should die. Not if I be lifted up in ascension to heaven. Yes, but if I be lifted up on the cross. How do you know? Because He said this spoke He concerning what death He should die. It took place at Calvary. So, the sixth seal in Revelation 6:12 through 17 ends with the words which introduce the seventh trumpet, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Got to answer that question. Well, you're going to have 17 verses in chapter number 7, an intermission, silence in heaven. Anything going on? Yeah, a lot going on, but it doesn't look like anything's going on. What is going on? Well, if you leave Revelation 6:17, the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand, and go down to Revelation chapter 7 and verse number 3, you see that the wrath of God that is going to be released upon the earth is hindered. Verse 3, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. The sealing up of the elect of God has got to take place. Silence in heaven. Let's get the atonement finished. Jesus Christ said it is finished. But the Pentecost doesn't come for many days hence. Why? Because Jesus has got to appear on the earth 40 days to show you that he indeed is the Lamb of God, and God did accept his sacrifice. And we read in Luke chapter 1 and verse 10 that the people were waiting outside of the curtain while Zechariah was inside offering incense, and an angel of the Lord stands there at the altar with him. Same song, second verse. We're waiting in Revelation 8:1 to see if the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, which we can't see, it's beyond the veil, is accepted by God. How do you know it's going to be accepted by God, whether it's accepted by God or not? Does the Spirit of God come? Tarry ye here, and I will send you the promise of the Father. Again, what is the promise of the Father? The Holy Spirit. Tarry ye here. Nothing being done. Oh, yes, it is. We're doing what God said. Obeying God is not doing nothing. Silence in heaven. You say, well, nothing's going on. Yes, it is. God is making sure that everything is put in order so that you, as his church, his bride, his beloved, his elect, those of you that he has loved and chosen in Christ from the foundation of the world, those that Jesus said, Father, I will that they may be one with us as I am one with you, making sure that they are kept safe and that the redemption of God is applied so that not hell or high water can ever, ever harm them in any way. Isn't that good? Do you like that? I do. Thank the Lord for that. So then he says, this angel comes and he offers up the fire off the altar with a golden censer. And the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. This thing is before the throne of God. This thing is right there in the presence of Almighty God. This thing was not done in a corner. God Almighty ordained it. God Almighty witnessed it. God Almighty made sure that it was carried out exactly as God would have it to do, so that everything that he had purposed and planned will be exactly like he will have it done. And dear friend, you, having been made accepted with the beloved and having been able to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, are going to be taken care of. And God's going to say, don't let an angel flap his wings. Don't let anybody say anything. Let there not even be any intercession by the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:26, or by the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 8:34. And I want you to understand and know that Jesus Christ is saying in Luke 12 and I want John chapter 16 in verse 26. That's what I want. That Jesus Christ himself is going to say to you amazing words, words that you may not even believe can be said. You don't even want to accept it because you think you are so wicked and ungodly. Well, did Jesus die, and did he apply his blood to you, and did he do a good job or not? Dear soul, I don't care how you feel. I'm telling you what God says you are. And Jesus said that in John 16:26, at that day you shall ask in my name. Ask, and you shall receive. But the next phrase is what gets us. It buckles us to our knees. That day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. What? Jesus going to stop interceding for us? No, that's not what he said. He said, it's not that the burden of intercession is going to be mine alone, for you're going to be able to ask the Father directly. Lord, teach us to pray. Okay. After this manner ought men to pray and not faint. Our Father. Jesus is Father. Yeah, but that's not what he said. Our Father, not our daddies, not the Pope. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. The Bible said, call no man Father on earth, and those Catholics are violating that verse every time they make that confession. Call no man Father on earth. That's what the Bible says. So, dear soul, what is he saying? He's saying, I'm bringing you into the glory of Almighty God. I'm bringing you in. You don't have to stay outside waiting to see if the incense has been accepted. I'm going to rip the veil in two and let you see directly into the Holy of Holies. And let you know what God has done for you. And let you know what's going on. And I want you to know, I'm not going to have to ask the Father for you exclusively anymore. Ask him yourself. What did he say? Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open to you. Why are you not knocking? Why are you not asking? Why are you not seeking? Why are you not bringing forth the birthright that Christ Jesus died for to give to you? Well, daughter, I see that you didn't cash that check I gave you for your birthday. Well, it's just so much I didn't think I was worthy of. Well, son, I see that car I gave you for your birthday is still sitting right where it was. The ribbon's still tied around it, and the keys are still hanging on the hook in the hall. Well, you know, I might wreck it. My soul. Get up, church. Rise up, O men of God. Have done with earthly things. Come on up. Come up hither into the realm of the Spirit. God has waited in silence so that the atonement and the sacrifice has been accomplished and has been received. And dear soul, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Read the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. Dare you? Well, dare you believe it if you do read it? You better read it. Ephesians chapter number 1. In verses 1 through 7. God has predestinated you to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of His will. It pleased God to do it. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace. It glorified God to choose you and to bring you in. Verses 7 on down through verse number 12. The redemption that you have. Not only the election of the Father in verses 1 through 6. For the praise of the Father's glory. But dear soul, in verses 7 through 12, Jesus Christ redeemed you to the praise of His glory. Are you going to deny God His glory? Are you going to deny the Son of His glory? And then in verse number 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. All three sections end with the glory of one of the members of the Trinity. Why did God elect you? To the praise of His glory. You're going to deny God His glory? Why did the Son die for you? To the praise of His glory. You're going to deny the Son His glory? Why did the Holy Spirit seal you? To the praise of His glory. They all end with the same phrase. So, dear soul, you need to step up into the realm of the spiritual. Have done with lesser things. Let's get on into this. Come up hither. And I was in the Spirit immediately. That's what we need. We need the Holy Spirit. I wish and pray to God, and I ask Him before I came over here, and I'm asking Him now, and my heart is yearning and burning and hoping and pleading to Almighty God within my spirit that God would help you to believe this, in so much that you would receive it, and in so much that you would obey it, and you would get in on it. You're not supposed to be a second-class citizen walking around, well, I'm just not worthy. Whoever thought you was worthy? The Bible said none of us were worthy. I looked under heaven, no man there. I looked all over the earth, no man there worthy. I looked in the sea, no man there worthy. And I wept much. Why are you weeping? Because no man is worthy. Stop crying. Look to Jesus. And I looked and saw one as a lamb that had been slain. And we sang, Thou art worthy because Thou hast redeemed us by Thy blood. Dear soul, Jesus Christ is worthy in you. Jesus Christ is worthy for you. Get up and get on to God. I've often thought, and I know it probably hurts a lot of the feelings of those people that I've pastored over the 45 years of this church, that some of us just delight in having the most raunchy and the most horrible prayer requests we can come up with. And we just love to say, well, we need you to pray for so-and-so because this and that and other happened to him. I don't mean to belittle those things. Yes, this, that, and the other did happen to him. But why are you making so much out of, we're so sorry. We're so sad. Oh, if God would only help them. Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. God is spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we need to understand that God has now instigated that which took place at Calvary, and the silence in heaven is over and done with now because God has made you accepted in the Beloved. So we see, let's look at 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 11. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of His calling, and fulfill all the goodness, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of your faith with power. The King James does not have the word your in there. It is in the Amplified. Paul is praying for the Thessalonians that God would count you worthy of His calling, of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness, and fulfill the work of your faith with power. Dear soul, God will fulfill the work of your faith with power, is the way it's supposed to work, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear soul, let me ask you a question. Since the Lord Jesus Christ and His name is to be glorified in you, how much glory does He have? Well, I don't know. I bet the angels are scratching their heads and wondering, what's wrong with them people? We don't have any redemption like this. We were suddenly gathered together and saying, praise God in the highest and glory to God and peace on earth and all of that. But these people have the blood of the Lamb of God Himself. The blood of the Lamb of God Himself applied to them, and yet they don't realize why there was silence in heaven to make sure that the sacrifice was implemented so that there might be the work of the Lord Jesus in their lives. Let's read a few scriptures before we close. Can you find Zephaniah? There is Habakkuk, and then Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 4. I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and the name of the Chimerims with the priests, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord, and that swear by Malcolm, and them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for Him. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, He hath bid His guests. Hold thy peace, there's silence in heaven. Why? At the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Jesus Christ has fulfilled His sacrifice, His soul. He has fulfilled all that He is going to do. There's nothing else to be done. It's now given unto us. And we need to make sure that we glorify the Lord God. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. He will rest in His love. Silence in heaven. Nothing needs else to be done. It has been done. It is finished. It is done. Now it is for us to benefit from. Dear friend, let's go to Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk. Chapter 2, go back a few pages, in verse 19. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, in other words, a wooden idol, awake, and to the dumb stone, chiseled out of God, out of stone, arise, and it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of thee, but the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Dear soul, we need to quit worshiping those things that have no power, have no ability. They are inordinate affections. We are involved in things that have no ability to help us. We're giving too much of our energies and too much of our attentiveness to things that do not benefit us. He says, but the Lord is in His holy temple. And God said, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, whom you have of God, and you are not your own. Oh, my soul. Let's look at John 16 as we finish up. The book of John. The book of John. Chapter 16. Verse 7. John 16. Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, Jesus speaking to us, it is expedient absolutely essential for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Did he depart? Yes. Then he sent the Holy Ghost to us. He said he would if he departed. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. What is the sin he will reprove or convict the world of? Because they believe not on me. That's the one sin that's going to send everybody to hell. He that believeth not is condemned already. He shall convince the world of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. It's an imputed righteousness. Because I have gone to the Father and you can't see me anymore, then you know that I have become sin for you, that you might become the righteousness of God in me. The Holy Ghost does that. And then of judgment, because the prince of this world, watch it now, is judged. Not shall be judged, but is judged. Jesus Christ has defeated the devil. It says, and I read you this verse constantly in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Why did he take part of flesh and blood? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He had to become man in order that he might die. And he died in order that he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And secondly, and that he might deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You're not subject to bondage anymore. You, dear soul, are raised up, and as we read you in that second Thessalonians passage in verse number 11, that God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of your faith with power. Dear soul, are you going to just sit and whine and carry on and just say, well, I'll go to heaven one of these days and that's all I want? What about God's glory? What about the Father's glory in electing you? What about Christ's glory in redeeming you? What about the Spirit's glory in sealing you? Do you not want to be a faithful witness to God that you have? And when we say faithful witness to God, everybody's like, well, I've got to go knock on doors and tell people about Jesus. No. We have been so brainwashed by soul winning and easy believism. And justification by works. I'm talking about entering into the realm of the Spirit and glorify God and believe the Lord and give Him glory and honor and praise. That's what this is talking about. That's what I wanted you to see today, that we have been able to look and see why was there silence in heaven. Because God was waiting for, and it caused intercession to wait until the sacrifice was accepted by God, and he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Isn't that great? The Lord God Almighty has looked upon the work of Jesus Christ, and he's told the angels, hurt not anybody on earth until we've sealed them in their foreheads. And I want you to understand and see and put this mark. You can study Ezekiel chapter 9. Man with the ink horn put this mark on the peoples of God so that those people who went through with the battering ram and the swords and the battering axe would not hurt any of God's elect. Ezekiel chapter 9. And God said, I want to make sure that my people are sealed so there's silence in heaven until this is done. And now send forth my son. And he accomplished the work of judgment upon this earth. Now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of this world cast out. This, he said, speaking of what death he should die. Dear soul, this church in this age is an anemic, mealy-mouthed, little wimpy church. You shouldn't talk like that about us. Prove me otherwise. Believe God, friend, according to the power of your faith. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. God help us that we might be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to need it because America is fallen. The spirituality of America is gone. And you're going to know what it is to live in a day of judgment and adversity. And you may have to learn to live in a day when there's no freedom of true godly religion anymore. There may be freedom of state-owned religion, but you're going to find out what it is to be a Christian before this thing is over with, before we get out of here. And this message is nothing more but bread upon the waters. And these messages in the book of the Revelation that we have been able to bring you lately has been to prepare the church for what she's fixing to go through in the dark hour of ungodliness. Satan is loose. Little season is upon us. But, dear soul, the glorious hour of the revelation of Jesus Christ to the hearts of men and God opening up these things to us to prepare us to be able to live in this ungodly age for the glory of God. May God help you. I pray that God will anoint your eyes with salve and strengthen your hearts and cause you to be able to rise up, O men of God, and have done with lesser things. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for your attention. Amen.